Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
Well, here in this month, we've been in a sermon series that we're calling I Am In. I am in. It's about how we're building our faith and our heart for God, and especially for His church. Let me remind you again. The church is God's idea. It's not a man-made creation. Jesus said, I'm going to establish my church before He left. So just to be clear, the church, and we can get caught up on this and seeing all the lights. No, the church belongs to Jesus. It's not a man-made creation. The church is something that Jesus died for. The church has been called the hope of the world. Why is that? Because before Jesus left, He said He would build His church and the gates of hell would never prevail against it. Yeah, is that good news for somebody? You see, Christ won already. And He's saying, and His church is going to win. Isn't that something to be excited to be a part of? To be part of a victorious place that's already won, and we just need to learn how to live in that win, right? So here's what we've been doing. Each week we've been looking at a different I am statement. In week one, we looked at the statement, I am invited. I am invited. And what we did in that is we learned that everybody has a place at the table. Everybody is invited to come to Christ. Everybody is invited to come to His church. And then in week two, Pastor Karen, how many people were here for week two? Oh man, it was phenomenal. If you didn't, go back and catch it on the podcast. A phenomenal word about how unique and necessary each one of us are in a message called I Am Invaluable. I am invaluable. That's right. God wants each and every one of us to use the gifts that He's put in us specifically to build His body, right? You are invaluable. Powerful word. Today, I want to show you by the power of God how we can become invested in the work of God. That's our I am statement today. I am invested. Turn to your neighbor and say, I am invested. Now turn to your other neighbor and say, I am invested. Now look, for some of you, you can probably make that statement with complete confidence. And if that's you, I hope today's message reinforces your commitment for the cause of Christ and His church. If that's you, I hope today's message gives you encouragement, hope, reinforcement. Yes, I'm on the right path. I hope that's what this message does for you today. But maybe there's some people here that aren't quite there yet. You're interested in the things of God in His church, but you're not quite yet invested. And it's okay to be honest. It really is okay to be honest. Because here's the thing I hope to show you today. I hope to help you recognize that maybe you aren't yet invested in God's church, but the truth of the matter is... You are invested in something, and you're invested somewhere. You see, everybody's invested in something. You believe in something. You're passionate about something. You're invested in something. So first, let's look at the word invested. What does it mean when we say we're invested? Invested is this. Is giving a lot of time and attention to something and to care very much about it. So when we talk about being invested in something, that's what we're talking about. What do you care about very much? What are you giving your time and attention to? A hobby? A job? A relationship? Or maybe you're invested in the latest Netflix show that you like. What are you invested in? You see, we're all invested in something. And let me give you an example about what I'm talking about. Between the difference between being interested in something and invested in something. So we got any football fans here? Okay, right? Come on, Texans. Ooh, we cannot wait for the Texans this year. Woo, we are so excited. Well, here's the thing. The casual football fan may be interested in their favorite team. They tune in to watch it on the TV. They might even, you know, be checking it on the phone to see what the score is. They're interested in their team. However, the football fan who purchases season tickets, they're actually invested in that team. You see, the season ticket holder is going to come to every game no matter what. They're going to show up whether it's rainy, cold, sunny, it don't matter. And a lot of times they're even going to come hours before to tailgate, right? They are invested in that team. See where I'm going? How many people here remember your first car? First car, I want you to think back to that first car. Now, I don't know about you. Mine was a junker, okay? It was a junker. By the way, just a little parenting advice. Don't ever get your 16-year-old a brand new car. That's just some free advice for you right now. Just take that one. That's not even in the notes. Just it's for free, okay? But mine was a junker. Luckily, I had wise parents. And they didn't get me a brand new car. But, you know, that car in high school, my friends and I, rode around in it. And I didn't really care. To be honest with you, I didn't care what they did in it. Didn't care what it looked like. I was just happy to have four wheels rolling down the road, right? But then I remember at some point I got a new car many years later. I treated that car a little bit different. See, I was washing that baby once a week. I was keeping it vacuumed out. I cared about that car. I was invested. See, I wasn't invested. I was interested in the first car, but I was invested in that new car. I mean, I took care of it. If anyone even thought about bringing food in it, wasn't going to happen. Wasn't going to happen. You see, we're all invested in something, aren't we? The problem is that for many of us, we're invested in things that really don't matter in the long run. For many of us, we're invested in things that aren't going to make a real difference. Things that don't last. In fact, the example of that new car, you know what happened a year later? Got in a wreck, completely totaled. All that investment, all that, gone. You see, Jesus had a lot to say about investment and how to be invested. In fact, when you look at the teachings of Jesus on this subject, you'll find again and again Jesus warning us not to invest in things that don't last and instead to pour our hearts into those things that do last. I'm going to show you several different places in his word today that talk about that. And I hope as we talk about these scriptures, I hope that it will help you become invested in your relationship with Christ and his church. In his church. Let's look at the first one, Matthew 6:19. This is what Jesus said. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. And then just two verses later, this is what it says in verse 21. For where your what is? One more time. Where your what is? Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. My friends, your heart will always follow what you're invested in. Did you hear me? Your heart will follow whatever you are invested in. What you treasure, what you value, what you spend your time and resources on, what you care about. Am I talking to somebody today? Once, when Jesus was asked, what is the most important rule to follow? What is the key to, you know, the hack for living life the way we're supposed to? And Jesus' response was this, is that we should treasure first God. And that we should do that with all of our heart. That is the thing Jesus said is the most important. If you picked one, now he added a second one, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. But the very first thing he said is, okay, you want to know what you need to treasure? You need to treasure your relationship with God above all else. Jesus was saying, love God, love me with an invested heart, not an interested heart. That's what he said. Jesus said, love me, love God with an invested heart, not an interested heart. That's the thing Jesus said was most important. Now, listen, I believe everybody here today, everybody within the sound of my voice, you do want to live and love God with an invested heart. I believe that. I believe you want to give, you want to pour out your heart into what God is doing in your life, in this church. You want to be able to be a blessing to others. But for many, there's something that may be holding you back. And that something is called a scarcity mentality. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Getting over a cold here, so just bear with me. A scarcity mentality is a mindset that says, I'm interested in giving. I'm interested in being a blessing. I'm interested in putting God first in all that I do. But I just don't think I have enough to give. So, because if I do those things, I may not have enough for myself. That's kind of what a scarcity mentality is. And it shows up in a lot of parts, in many parts of our life. Let me show you a story that Jesus told that gets to this, that talks about this. It's found in Luke chapter 12. And we're going to be reading verses 16 through 21. So let me just read this. So Jesus speaking to his disciples and others, he said, he told them a parable. And we know that Jesus almost always told a story. Just remember, a parable is a story with a point. If you don't ever want to remember what a parable is a story with a point, okay? So he told them this parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all of my grain and all of my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, what? Fool. God said to him, fool. This night your soul is required of you. And all the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Wow. What's the deal with this rich farmer? I mean, here God is, let's look at this. God has provided the land for this guy. God has provided the rain that brought the crops. And God has provided the physical wherewithal for him to produce and to harvest the crops. But unfortunately, this rich man's response is to store it up and to keep it for himself. All this that God has provided for him. Why? Because he had a scarcity mentality. A belief there is only so much pie. Wait a minute, how many people know God can make more than one pie? God can make unlimited pies, by the way. But this guy's got this scarcity mindset. Well, there's only one pie. There's only so much. And he says to himself, I have grain enough now to live comfortably for many years. He's saying to himself. And if I were to share some of this grain, he seems to be saying, then I might run out. And so instead of sharing, he says, I just want a party. That's basically what he says. Yeah. I just want a party. And here's the implicit thing he's saying. I just want to enjoy the fruits of my labors. That's what he said. That's what he said. I did all this. It's just me. I worked hard. I did all this. Now I get to enjoy it all. That's exactly what he said. But here's the problem. God created us to pour, not store. Come on. God created us to pour, not store. God created us to pour things out, not store them up. God created us to be a river, not a reservoir. Come on. You see, rivers carry water, don't they? What do reservoirs do? They just store them. And then what happens when a drought comes? How many people have been out to Canyon Lake, Medina? Reservoirs. That's basically what they are, right? And when the heat comes down, lack of rain, they just dry up. Rivers are running. See, God calls us to be a blessing, not just receive a blessing. Put it on a t-shirt. I actually like rivers, not reservoirs. It's actually my favorite one out of all those. But anyway, you see, just like the rich man, God is calling us to be rich toward him with our love and our treasure. Because God is supposed to be our first love, our first priority. But here's the thing. God is so good. God wants to bless you. Okay, let's just be clear. God wants to bless you. Because the beautiful thing about God is he doesn't have a scarcity mentality. God, that's not the way God thinks. That's not in his character. It's not his nature. God doesn't have a scarcity mentality. In fact, God has just the opposite. God is the God of surplus, not scarcity. God is the God of surplus. God's budget is always balanced. Isn't that good? And he always has more to give. God's word says he owns, help me now, the cattle on how many? On 1,000 hills. Those of you who know that scripture, his word says God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Matthew 6:33, Jesus told us, look, if you'll just put God's priorities first in your life, he knows you need all the rest and he'll take care of that. That's what Jesus said. And, you know, this little scripture here is one of my favorite. And you can go look it up. I'm not going to give you the reference, give you some homework. One time, Peter was telling Jesus, look, Lord, I've given up everything to follow you. That's what Peter told him on that particular day. Jesus looked right at Peter and he said, look, Peter, let me tell you something. You or anybody else, anything you think you've given up, anything you think you are doing without, anything you think you've contributed, you're going to see a return of 100 times more of that. And this is the one scripture puts it this way, one version, in this life. In this life. And you're going to have eternal life is what Jesus told you. You're going to get both. You're going to get both. Now, that's what I call a return on investment. That's what I call a return on investment. So here's what I've come to share with you today. What does living an invested, put God first life look like? What does that look like? Here's what it looks like. It's giving God our best in the three areas that we treasure the most. It's giving God our best in the three areas that we treasure the most. Our time, our talent, some people call them gifts, and our money. Did you know Jesus spoke about money more than 100 times in the Bible? If you don't think money is important to Jesus, you would be mistaken. Not important in terms of value, in terms of Jesus understood what money was going to do to us. Right? And we're going to get to that. Let's start with the first one. Our time. I wonder what the rich farmer was thinking as he was sitting there planning all those new barns. It seems like he was just thinking, well, I have all the time in the world. I'm going to build barns. I'm going to be here next week to do it or next year to do it. Or, you know, he didn't seem to have much of a appreciation for time, did he? God, in so many places in his word, tells us that we ought to appreciate the time that we have. Because time is a gift. In so many different places, it's also telling us that our time is limited. And Psalm 90:12 actually says our days are numbered. It's actually the way Psalm 90:12 puts it. And it tells us there in that psalm that we ought to number our days so we learn how to make them count. And then it says this beautiful thing at the end. It says, when we learn to do that, then we will receive a heart of wisdom. What is that heart of wisdom? That heart of wisdom is what helps us prioritize. That heart of wisdom begins to show us what's really important and what isn't. What's more important, what's less important? That's what the heart of wisdom, and that's why when we learn to number our days, and truly do that, then a heart of wisdom will follow. It's a beautiful promise. You see, we all have 24 hours in a day. We all have 168 hours in a week. Where and on what are you spending your time? It's a question. Is most of your time being spent on things that one day the moth is going to eat or the rust is going to corrode? On things that won't last past this life? My friends, God's church, the church Jesus died for, offers you an opportunity to invest your time into something that really matters. Things that can last for eternity. Now listen, I'm not saying there aren't other commitments to our time. The word also says you have to work, right? You have to earn a living. You have to provide for somebody. Okay, right? So I'm not saying we don't do those things or don't have those things, but where else besides God's church can you invest your time into things that matter past this life? Past this life. You know, there's great organizations out there, United Way, Food Bank, tons of others. They're great, but their reach, their impact is going to be limited to this world. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't support those or shouldn't volunteer, but I want you to remember something. You and I only have so much time on this planet. We only have so many days. Our days are numbered, okay, on this earth. And so there's going to be times when we need to choose between what's good and what's best. Somebody hear me today. You have to make a choice, sometimes daily, certainly weekly, about things that are good or best. That's important. God's church, his priorities are always going to be the best. I'm not sorry, actually. I'm just trying to be truthful. Because God's priorities are going to last. God's priorities have the opportunity to be eternal. And that's always going to trump something earthly every time and twice on Sunday. Come on now. Your time to serve our kids over in the kids ministry has the power not just to impact their lives here, but literally has the power to impact their lives for eternity. Not only their lives, but generations of lives for eternity. Your time to pray with people literally can open up the windows of heaven. You ain't going to get that at the Goodwill. I mean, I'm just saying. Come on now. Your willingness to put out flags or run slides or greet somebody at the door or have coffee out there, it opens up an environment, a place for people to come to know God and to also learn more about Jesus. That, my friends, has an eternal impact. Come on. Sometimes we don't think about it like that, but that's true. The time you spend, how many people have served at our monthly food pantry at any time? I know we had a bunch yesterday. You want to see what being the hands and feet of Jesus looks like? Show up at a food pantry. What you're doing there, anyone that serves there, you're making a tangible difference in the lives of people. And remember, our food pantry ain't about the food. Let's say it one more time. Our food pantry ain't about the food. Food's going to be gone in 2 days. It's about showing people the love of Jesus. It's about praying for people. I can't tell you, Luciana ran our food pantry for you. I mean, we've had people baptized from the food pantry. We've had salvations from the food. I mean, that's what it's about, okay? The food is great, and we love serving our community. You see, there's no time that you will ever spend that will be more valuable, more treasured than the time you give back to God by serving in his house, his church. Let's go to the next one. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this next one because Pastor Karen did such a great job last week, and I'm going to review that in just a minute. But I'm not going to say a whole lot about it right now because actually I would say a lot of the same things I just said about your time. You see, your time and your talent are actually very closely linked, right? They're actually very closely linked. And again, I'm just going to mention, Pastor Karen last week showed us and reminded us how invaluable each of our talents is, each of our gifts is, that we, the body of Christ needs everybody's gift and talent and participation, not just some, okay? But I will say this today about our talents, and hear me because this is important. If you'd like to take notes, write this down. Your gifts are not just for you. Do you understand that? Your gifts are not just for you. You see, whatever talent, whatever ability you have, whatever gifting God may have given you, it ain't just for you. If I have to just say this with me, it ain't just for me. Oh, that's right. This is what the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 4:10. He said this very specifically. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Straight up. That is one of the main purposes about a gift that you've been given. Okay? You invest in God's plan and purpose for your life. You invest in God's church when you use your talents and your gifts to serve somebody else. All right. Now I'm going to move on to the last one. Our money. You know, the title of this last point is actually a little bit misleading. The slide says our money, but the reality is, and it's one of the points that our rich farmer failed to remember, is that everything we have is because God's given it to us. Everything we have, yeah. You see, the money you make, the resources that you have, they are all from God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 tells us very clearly. God says, look, remember that any ability that you have to gain wealth, money, resources, comes directly from God. That's what Deuteronomy 8, 18 says. Yeah, I know you've developed skills. I know you've gone to school. I know you may have learned to trade. And yes, you work hard. I get it. And you ought to. You ought to. But God gave you the brain to do that. God gave you the body and the strength to do that. God opened doors for you that you don't even know about. Yes, come on. So the next time you think, I did this, I did this, I did. Hey, great. It's okay to appreciate accomplishments. It's okay to, you know, I would say that. Appreciate it. Don't think you just did it all, okay? God gave you the ability to do that. And to be honest with you, the reason why I saved this as the final point of the day is because I knew, and God knows, it's the hardest one for us to deal with. It's the hardest area for us to get out of that scarcity mentality. I know it was for me. For many years, I really did not understand the relationship between my money, although it's God's money, my heart, and God. So let me be really clear. That's right, you heard me. For God, money is all about your heart. It has nothing to do with dollars and cents. For God, your money is about your heart. You see, because God really doesn't need your money. God doesn't need anything. He's self-sufficient. He's sovereign. He does not need your money. What he wants, though, is what? He wants your heart. You see, that's always been his goal. That's always been his only request. Hear me. The only thing God really wants from you is your heart. That's all he's ever wanted, and that's all he will ever want is your heart. Yes. Because he knows once he has that, everything else will follow. Woo. The money, the resources, all those things God provides for you, though here's the great thing about it, that represents a very tangible way for you to show God your heart and to demonstrate that you are invested in your relationship with him and that you are invested in building his kingdom here on earth. It's just a very tangible representation. Come on. God knows us so well, doesn't he? I mean, he created us. We're his kids. He knows us. And I believe with all my heart that God knew that this would be the hardest investment for us to make. I believe God knew that about us. Let me show you something. You know, many parts in Scripture that tell us we ought not to, says the word in Scriptures, to test God. It's put a different, many different ways. But basically, we're not supposed to test God. It says that in multiple places, except one. There is only one place in all of Scripture where God says, okay, in this one thing, not only am I going to allow you to test me, I'm actually going to encourage you to test me. Only one, and one only. Before I get to the scripture that I'm going to share with you that shows that, I'm going to give you a little bit of background. So the last book of the Old Testament is a book called Malachi. Okay? And in this book, the Lord is instructing the prophet Malachi to call the people to return to him. You see, the people had wandered. They were, you know, worshiping false gods. They were intermarrying with people that God said not to. There was just so many things going on. And the entire book of Malachi is God calling his people to come back to him. Give me your heart back. That's what God's saying in all of Malachi. He calls them to return by leaving the false gods that they've been worshiping. He calls the priest to stop bringing spoiled food and unhealthy animals as sacrifices to the altar as a way to return to him. And finally, he called all the people to stop robbing him of tithes and offerings that belonged to him. And then this is what it says. And when the people responded and they actually asked God, well, how can we return to you? How can we make this right? This is what it says in Malachi chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. Bring the full tithe, and a tithe is another word for 10%. So it's 10% into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And thereby do what? Put me to the test. Put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down a blessing until there is no more need. Wow. No more need. Reminds me of the book of Acts. It said that there was no poor among them. This played out in the book of Acts as people brought sacrificially everything. Same thing you see in the New Testament. It's played out in Acts chapter 2. And it says, I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil. And your vine in the field shall not fail to bear fruit. And all the nations will call you what? Blessed. Wow. You see, back then the tithe was intended to support God's storehouse and also the priests, because the priests had no other form of income. So the tithe was used to meet those needs. Today, the local church is generally considered that storehouse now. Okay? All right, I'm just going to stop right here. Let me tell you something, because someone's going to go Google this. Someone's going to go, yeah, pastor, but the tithe is an Old Testament thing. It doesn't say in the New Testament you're supposed to tithe. Okay. We actually ought to be giving more than what they did in the Old Testament. You know why? Because in the Old Testament, they didn't have Jesus dying for them yet. I want you to think about this. The Apostle Paul was clear. God loves a cheerful giver. So to me, that means the tithe hopefully becomes kind of the minimum, right? Because we have a whole lot to be grateful for now that the Old Testament knew it was coming. We get to see it. It's already come. So I'm just going to put that out there, because they're going to, well, Pastor Bob, that was an Old Testament thing. You don't have to tithe. Well, yeah, well, you don't have to do a lot of things, but where's your heart for God? I'm just going to leave it right there. But I do want to get to a couple things real quick. So generally speaking, the tithes now go to support things like this building, our food pantry, community outreach, future things that we believe God has a lot in store for Pursuit Church. You know, we're going to outgrow this facility pretty quick. We're already outgrowing kids, and we're believing, not out of any selfish ambition, we're believing because we want to reach more people. We want to reach more people for God. And so that's part of what your tithes and offerings go for. Also to support other church. We've given to other ministries to build them up. In fact, we sent some money to Guatemala not too long ago to help with a mission there that we support that you all support with medical care, missionary work. So yeah, we're not rolling in goats and birds, and that'd be kind of weird. Right now, the tithes and offerings generally represent our income. But here's where I want to land today on this subject. There is no better place to invest your resources, no other place that will provide an eternal reward like God's house. None. And here's what you can count on when you do that. God said it in Malachi. You can expect God to respond to you. You can expect God to respond to you, yes, when you give from your heart. He's going to meet your needs. He's going to keep things from hurting you. He's going to rebuke that devourer for you. And as a result of all that, people will look at your life and they will call you what? Blessed. Amen. Listen, I know it's easy to fall into that scarcity mentality, especially when it comes to money. I had that mentality for many years before I finally put God to the test a little more than 18 years ago now. But once I began to trust God with my finances, once I began to bring back to Him what was just a portion of what was already His, my life became blessed. Now listen, blessed doesn't mean perfect. Blessed doesn't mean you're never going to have another problem. But I've experienced so many times in those last 18 years when God provided when I didn't know how we were going to make it. God showed up in different checks came in the mail or opportunities or, oh my goodness. I mean, just literally that could be nothing but God. Hey, for those of you that are tithers out there, I'm sure you have your stories of God's provision, of His blessing in your life. Can you just clap if God's done that for you? Because God's faithful to do that. But maybe some of you have yet to experience the blessings that God promised to all of us in the book of Malachi. Maybe you have yet to see the windows of heaven open and those blessings that God promised fully poured out on your life. If that's you today, I have a challenge for you. Put God to the test. I have a challenge for you. Put God to the test. I challenge you. I am encouraging you to give God first. Hear me now. Give God first before you do anything else with your money. You see, back then, God didn't just say, bring me the 10%. He said, bring me the first 10%. There's a matter of priority here, right? What did Jesus say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, might, mind, and strength first. That's priority. God is a God of priority. The priority we place in Him and on Him is important. It's important, believe me, it's important for our lives, but it's important to God, okay? It's a concept called first fruits. And so that concept hasn't changed. That concept has never changed. And again, although we don't bring goats and sheep and oxen and birds and all the other things they brought and crops, what we bring now is our heart and we bring the resources that God has given to us. Bring God the first part of your finances, not just the leftover change at the end of the week. I'm going to challenge you with that. God gave His very best for you and I. He gave His Son, His only Son, the Scripture says. The least we can do, the very least we can do, is invest back into our relationship with Him and His house by bringing back to Him the first that He gives us. Listen, if you can give God that tithe, that 10% right now, awesome. If you're already doing that, fantastic. God, there's a blessing for that, clearly. Okay, God's going to bless that. But let me just say this. If you're not there yet, start somewhere. Start somewhere. You know, if for you it's $20 a week, start there. But hear me. Let it be the first $20, not the last. Let it be the first thing you spend that week, not what's left over. plan your generosity. Have a strategy for your giving. And here's the thing that I'm going to challenge you. Be consistent. Be consistent. You see, God's word says he loves a cheerful giver. You know what else God loves? A consistent giver. And why do I know that? Because his word says that he honors our faithfulness. Consistency is another word for faithfulness. God will honor your faithfulness. He will honor your consistency. So please don't say, well, man, 10%, that's a lot. Pastor Brian, I'm not there yet. Okay, start somewhere. Start somewhere. Listen, I've said it 100 times. Pastor Karen and I don't take a salary here. It's ain't about making us rich. No, this is about your soul. This is about your relationship, investing your relationship with God. That's all this is about. That's all this is about. And that's all it's ever going to be about. So this is for you. Trust me. This. Just understand, there's nothing you can ever, I'm going to go back to Peter and Jesus. There's nothing you can ever give that you're not going to get way back more in return. And this is, God's not an ATM machine. Okay, come on now. So well, I give 20, I expect to get 200. No, well, come on. Because you notice in Malachi, there wasn't actually financial. Actually, the word financial blessings were never really mentioned. What it says is I'm going to pour out blessings upon you. For there's a lot of blessings that have nothing to do with money. How many people know that there's a lot of blessings that have nothing to do with money? God didn't say, bring me your 10% and I'm going to make it 10 times or I'm going to give you more money. Can God do that? Absolutely. I've experienced that in my life over and over and over again. But much more than the financial piece of it is the peace in my heart and the investment in my relationship with Christ. That is by far the biggest blessing that I've ever received by giving back to God what is already his. I promise you that if you will consistently give to God and give with a heart and give from a heart out of love, then your life will be blessed. You actually don't have to take my word for it. Put God to the test. He already said it. He already said it. So let me end today where I began. If you have already invested in your relationship with God and you are already investing your time, your talent, your resources into building your relationship with God and to building his house, keep on going. Don't ever stop. I want you to understand what a big difference your life is making, what a big difference your investment, yes, is making in your life, but also in building God's kingdom. You see, investment brings growth. Investment leaves legacy. Let me just encourage you, keep going. Keep investing. There's no better place for you to invest your time, your talent, and your money. If maybe, though, you've just been interested in God and his kingdom up till now, if that's you today, then let me encourage you to do this starting today. First, let me encourage you to find a place to use your gifts and serve in God's house. Find a place to serve. Find a place to invest your time. And as you do that, watch how your relationship with God grows closer, but also, hear me, how your relationship with others begins to blossom. You see, this is the way Jesus showed his love, is he invested his time in serving others. That's how Jesus built relationships. There is no better way to build a relationship than to serve with somebody, alongside somebody, serve somebody. There's no better way to build a relationship than serving. And second, here's the second thing I'm going to ask everyone to do. Begin the commitment, the sacrificial gift of giving back to God, of honoring God with your finances. Hey, listen, start somewhere, but be consistent. Every time you get some kind of income, give God the first part. Every time. Not every once in a while, every time. It's a spiritual discipline, but the word disciple comes from discipline. That which we consistently do, we become. Come on now. That which we consistently do, we become. And I believe through the power of the Holy Spirit, that God is going to help you do it. You don't do it on your own. Matter of fact, don't even try it on your own. You can't. But with God's help, let him show you what it looks like to serve. Let him show you how to use your gifts. Let him show you. He'll give you creative ways. He'll make your dollar. Man, I had a guy in our church not too long ago tell me, you know, Pastor, ever since I started tithing, all of a sudden I have more money. I'm like, what? He goes, it's like counterintuitive. But he was blown away. I said, yeah, that's the way God works. He said, ever since I started tithing, I actually have more money. Interesting. That's just a real life story, right? I mean, but that's the way God works. Invest consistently in God's house. You know, I have a vision. I really do. And I want you to just, you know, kind of dream with me for a minute. Think with me for a minute. What if everybody who called Pursuit Church home, now and in the future, what if every single person were to say, I'm going to commit to serve somewhere once a month? Now listen, there's times when people need to take a break. We're not here to burn people out. And neither is God, by the way. God don't need you burned out. He wants you healthy. So there are seasons. There are some times when you know, it's fine. You just sit down for a minute. But over the course of time, what if every single person that called this place home served somewhere at least once a month? I'm not talking about 92%. I'm talking about 100%. 100. And what if everybody consistently gave to God's house? Not 86.2%, not 31.4, 100. I believe the windows of heaven would be opened. No, I don't even have to believe that. I know it because God said it. Let me encourage you. Those two things, I promise, will change your life. They will change your life. If you're already doing those things, again, I honor you. I say, come on, show someone else. Tell someone else what that's done for your life. Help people see. I can stand up here and preach all day long, but you know what? The greatest power, it says we overcome by what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. There's nothing more powerful than someone who's saying, you know, I used to have that scarcity mentality. And then I started to trust God. And then I started to believe that he would do what he said he would do. And all of a sudden, and I consistently did it. And now look what's happened in my life. There's nothing more powerful than that. Nothing more powerful. Share your testimony with somebody if God's done that for you. It's beautiful. Being invested in God's plans and purposes. Thank you, brother. Being invested in God's plans and purposes and being invested in building his kingdom here on earth is the greatest investment you will ever make. I say that, and I hope you believe that in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me right now? Heavenly Father, God, we love you so much. And God, you have invested in us so much. You gave your only son who gave his very life. Father, you put the breath in our lungs. You allow us to live the life that you do. You give us the ability to earn wealth. Father, it's all because of you. We want to recognize that and thank you for it. Father, we pray now that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you show us, that you help us to live an invested life, a life focused on you, a life that serves others and brings you honor and glory. And God, help us to always be rich in our love towards you by putting you first in all that we do, by bringing you our best, the best of our time, the best of our gifts, and the best of our resources. God, with your help and not in our own strength, we believe we can do this. And we believe that you will help us do it. And for these things we pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now, listen, with every eye still closed, every head bowed, I sense maybe there's somebody here, maybe more than one, who has not yet committed your life to the one who gave his life for you. If that is you today, and you're ready to invest your life in the Savior of the world, would you just pray this simple prayer with me right now? And listen, if anyone wants to join in this prayer, whether you've already done this, 100 years ago or last week, feel free to join in this, because it's a great way to support somebody who may be doing this for the very first time. Just say this with me. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Today, I ask you to wash me clean. I believe that you died for me and that you rose again on that third day. Today, I make you the Lord and the Savior of my life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Can we just celebrate for anybody that may have made that decision for the first time today? God's word said that the angels in heaven are actually celebrating right now with that decision, and so are we. And listen, if anyone made that decision today, right after we're done, we have some of our team in the back who would love to pray with you, who would love to celebrate with you, who would love to agree with you, and they also, they also have some information to share with you that will help you in your next steps with Christ.